Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jason, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bill Dawes, waiting for Don Fry. We had Jared Gooden booked, but he couldn't do it. He canceled last minute, so we'll have him on next week. And McCorkle's going through some stuff, so he can't do it either. But he should be okay, you know, as only Sean can. Bill, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, I think what everyone wants to know is about your journeys. You've had quite a whirlwind trip.
Dude, I almost want to quit comedy right now because I'm like, it'll never get better. You know, it's kind of like my last wrestling match in college, which I was a freshman. The season hadn't even started yet. It was like I had a couple tournaments preseason. But I beat the kid so bad, his coach threw in the towel. And,
oh, wow. That's great.
And said that, like in the third period, he just – and I'm like, dude, I'm not going to – you know, I actually probably could have done better. But it was one of the best – it was the best experience I've ever had as a comic. You know, every show – had, you know, 7,000 people and it was just
wow,
amazing crowds. And just, you know, I got to see the pyramids in Egypt. I got to go, I got to go on a safari in South Africa, which
oh,
was
wow, that's cool.
Amazing. And they even said, don't look the tigers in the eyes because they'll look that as like, they'll take that as like a, and then I got to
how
see.
How close were you to tigers? You were that close?
That close, yeah. And the wow. Tigers look at it as like a threat. Like, oh, really, you want some of this? And then I got to go to the Taj Mahal in India, which was insane. So, of course, I, like, FaceTime my wife from it. And she's like, I want you to take this in. Take this in because, you know, this guy built his wife a palace for her to rest in peace. And you can't take me on date night, right? Like, that was... And meanwhile, I looked into it. The guy also married his like daughter, who was because she looked like his second wife, who he loved. And then he also buried his second and third wife next to each other, or first and second, like right next. So he was building it. He was building it, the emperor, while the other one was still alive. You know, she was mad because she was like taking all this time to build. And allegedly, I don't know if this is true. He had like 5,000 people build the Taj Mahal and he chopped off all their hands. So at the end, so they couldn't recreate it, which I mean,
oh my God, that's wild.
What a dick move. I mean, how is that any way to treat the help? You know,
by the way, you know, I went to Taj Mahal last summer and, how did you get there? Cause I drove and it was like driving through it was brutal to get there. Did you get on a private helicopter because of Russell Peters?
No, we didn't get a private helicopter. But we did have a guy take us through. I mean, the whole thing was, and Don Fry calls me an hour ago, says, when are we doing this, right? Which I tell him in an hour, okay. And then he always comes late. So I have to repeat every single story. This is the only MMA podcast where none of the hosts, except for me, actually watch the fights. This is a podcast where I have to explain what happened to everybody. Like,
well, okay, in fairness, this last UFC card was like, I couldn't even pronounce any of the people's names. Like, I didn't really know any of the fighters.
It was bad. So then, well, here's Don right here. Don, I'm talking about the trip. I went and saw the pyramids, the ones that you built.
Yeah.
You did a great job. So anyway, oh, great. Now I can't hear him. I could actually see him perfectly. But you're
Oh,
no, now I can hear you. Now I can hear you.
You can't hear me?
Yeah.
I said your mom and I had a great time building those things, man.
Thank you. I actually wish I couldn't hear you. So when we got to Saudi Arabia, by the way, it's a lot different. Because I was in Saudi Arabia about 12 years ago to do comedy for the military. And, you know, it's a culture shock because women had to be covered head to toe. You know, you could only see their eyes. And then
it was hard for you to walk.
Yeah, right. I kept bumping into things, right? And the women, like, before they got off the airplane, they would all change. You know, you'd see all these beautiful women, and then they just covered head to toe. But now it's different. Women don't have to be covered anymore. So it's
really?
Yeah, they don't have to be covered at all. And a lot of these women are like beautiful. Like, they have beautiful skin. I don't know what's from staying out of the sunlight for so long, but their skin is actually like incredible. And at the end of the show, they wanted to take pictures. Well, though some people were covered, right? The whole front row was covered. And I was like, Russell, how am I going to know if they're laughing? You can't see them. All you can see is their eyes. And he's like, oh, you'll know because the way their eyes will move. So, dude, I'm on stage and I start like making fun of the Saudi Arabian guys because they're all wearing robes. And I'm like, oh, you know, you guys all wear the same outfit. I'm like, if any of you guys ever commit a crime, you'll be fine. Because they'll be like, who did it? Oh, the guy in the white robe and the red thing. Right. So they were dying laughing. And then I did a joke about how Russell told me, when you get to Saudi Arabia, don't compliment someone. Because if you're like, hey, nice watch, they'll just give it to you. Hey, it's yours, my friend. Take it, take it. And they won't let you not take it. So I told the guy that his wife was beautiful. And then he's like, take her. I have three more. Because they really are allowed four wives. Like, they're allowed. These guys have four wives. Like, not, no joke, right? And so at the end of the show, they wanted pictures, a lot of these women. And I thought it would be kind of cool to have a picture of me and four women that are covered head to toe. But they're like, no.
Yeah. You can't.
They're like, well, they could take a picture, but not me, because people will recognize them. That's what they said. People actually recognize them in the robe, which is fucking crazy. Like, if you could recognize someone in a robe, you should. But some guy that was giving us a tour, this guy who was actually Tito Ortiz's like strength and conditioning coach and this and that, this guy that was going along with us, he told me that that they love, you know, like white dudes with tattoos over there. And he had sex with like all these Saudi women, but not, they're not allowed to have sex before marriage. But they could do it anally, so they go right.
Oh my god!
So they go right to butt sex. He said they went from holding hands to butt sex.
Wait, is that like part of the fucking Quran that
I don't think
thou
they have
can penetrate thy anus?
Like Brandish Rob growing up, right?
Yeah, I don't think that in the Quran it says you can have butt sex. I'm pretty sure that. That's 100% not in the Quran, but that's what he said. He says they go right to. So anyway, so we go to Saudi Arabia, and after the show, they have Bellator versus PFL in Saudi Arabia. Like, that is taking.
Yeah.
So the night before, Russell's good friends with Mike Tyson. So I go out with Mike Tyson. Right, it's me, Amir Khan, Mike Tyson. We're at Cipriani's in Saudi Arabia, and
is Cipriani's?
It's like this really nice restaurant. So then, and Russell tells Mike, oh, he's a comedian, blah, blah, blah. So I sit down with him and I'm like, Mike, are you fighting again? Because I heard it was going to be Tyson versus Lennox Lewis versus, I don't know, I think it was Mark Hunt. And he was like, no. He's like, you know, what's his name? Fought Riddick Bowe, fought James Toney recently. They look like two old guys, you know, two. And I was like, yeah, it should have been on the History Channel, right? And at first he goes, no, it was on, he goes, the History Channel. And he just fucking falls over laughing, like hitting his, like, you fucking comedians, right? So now he was in a good mood. Dude, I must have talked to Tyson for a half an hour, just me and him. And I was asking him these questions. I was like, you know, I used to love watching his interviews because they would ask him questions and he would just give the most honest answer. Like, after one fight, he's like, is this the hardest you ever hit somebody? And he's like, oh, no, you'd have to ask everyone I hit.
Wife.
No, he didn't mention his wife. He goes, you'd have to ask everyone I hit. And remember that interview where he was like, I'm this guy, I'm that guy, I'm fucking blah, blah. He just goes off. He goes, he just went off. Someone else did that recently where he went off on like, I'm Sonny Liston, I'm this and that, I come from there. And then he goes, praise be Allah. He told me a 10-year-old girl from England went up to him and did the exact speech.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we were laughing about that. And then I had heard that before his fight with like Buster Douglas, that him and Bobby Brown were just like bang like 30 women the night before. They were just doing coke. And that he's like, dude, that's totally true. He was like, that completely happened. He's like, I thought I was gonna knock him out in one round. I'm like, I heard Bobby Brown told you you gotta get your life together. And like so yeah, he was like, that's totally true. He was dying laughing. And then I asked him, he told me him and Mark Kerr and some other guy, some like plastic surgeon, did cocaine for like 4 days together and in somebody's basement. And the guy was trying to get him to fight Mark Kerr, like prime Mark Kerr versus Tyson in the guy's basement. Dude, it was crazy. And I asked him about his tigers, because you know he had all these tigers, right? And I asked him, I told us on the safari, they said, don't look tigers in the eyes. He's like, I learned that the hard way.
Oh, shit.
So he was, dude, it was crazy, man. So
have you always been a massive Tyson fan, or did you like research Tyson knowing that you're going to meet him?
No, I always been a Tyson fan. So this was like years of questions that I had. And then, and then as soon as the Saudi prince stood up, because he was there, Prince Saud, everyone had to stand up. So he's like, we got to stand up now. So everyone, when he stood up, everyone stood up. So, but yeah, my dad was worried about me in Saudi Arabia though, because he's like, I had my earrings in, and he told me that they like kill people with earrings. So he kept sending me like going on Instagram and finding me random things. But I also made fun of the lips, because a lot of women have lip injections now over there. Like they love the lips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which wouldn't be as noticeable. which wouldn't be as noticeable, but they're wearing like a black cloth over their head, and you know they're all dressed. They're all in like
a big fist underneath their nose.
Yeah, that's what I said. It looks like they're like in 3D, and I was like, is this where all the oil's being stored? Like I said that during the stage, and the people went fucking ballistic laughing.
I mean, were you worried at some point, like, okay, this is funny, but I'm going to cross the line? Were you ever worried about crossing the line? Because I feel like if you cross the line in Saudi Arabia, you get beheaded.
They said no. Well, that's actually, they said don't mention religion, and certain things are not gonna like translate. Like if you said I got head, they don't know what that means. Like they think that actually you got head. Like you got like beat that someone got beheaded and handed you a head. But the last time I was there, the guy and the soldier guy told us a place called Chop Chop Square, where they chop off your arm. They have like public gatherings and they chop off your arm. You get caught stealing or so, but they ended that like 12 years ago, 13 years ago. But the guy that was with us, the same guy that was the anal sex guy, he told me that he went to the last public lynching, the last public murder. And he said the way they did it was they locked the guy up by his feet, like hung him upside down, and then tied him to a Jeep and just drove away.
What the fuck?
And I was like, I'm like, was this sponsored by Chevy? You know, like it was just
four tough.
And he did. They did four people that day, but that was the last time. And then they got rid of the religious police. There's no more religious police, but they're just gone. Nobody knows where they went.
Is this all of Saudi Arabia, or is this where you were? Because I feel like Riyadh. When I was in Riyadh, I was invited to a beheading.
No, it's all Riyadh. No more beheadings. And
give it your own.
Dude, and then like Egypt, right? Egypt was like, the people were so nice. And people were really nice in Saudi Arabia, but also really nice in Egypt. Like I was walking and all these kids surrounded me, like a school got out, and they were all like pointed to my ears, and they're practicing their English. These kids were like 8 or 7, and they're like, nice to meet you, and shaking my hand, and hello, welcome to Egypt. And then one kid said, what happened to your leg? Because I had my boot on. And I told him, he goes, I'll pray for you. Which was like... Aww. Super sweet, you know. Yeah, that was incredible.
And you find out he's a Satanist. Yeah.
Dude, India was one of the craziest, because the cab drivers in India, they go 150 miles an hour. There's no changing lanes, no, like they just take the fuck off. And everything, I even said, this is like Grand Theft Auto Namaste. Because they just fucking take off, dude. I was scared shitless. Because I'm telling the guy, hey, man, like, slow down, please. And he doesn't speak English. So it didn't matter what I was saying. But that was crazy. And then you see people, like, five people on a motorcycle. Well, not a motorcycle, but, like, the kid, the father is the only one wearing the helmet. Like the mother is like the sitting like this with her two seats, her two legs to the side. So her dress doesn't fly.
The baby's steering.
Dude, the baby, literally the baby's in the front. And then there's like a cow. You know, cows are sacred. So people are weaving.
Cows are everywhere there. Everywhere. They're like pigeons.
They're holding up traffic. Fucking cows, dogs are everywhere.
Monkeys. And then,
dude, monkeys. It's crazy. There's a town where they train monkeys to steal your stuff. And then you gotta, and then you got to pay to get it back. So you got to pay. And then the people know how to get the stuff back from the monkeys. That was really sad, Bill, was in India, because there were all these little kids on the street and they were asking for money and they were trying to sell me stuff. And I gave one a dollar. Then I ran out of dollars. All I had was like 100 and I had a couple 50s. And I'm like, you know, I don't have $100 to give away at the time. And next thing I know, I'm like the Pied Piper of kids. It's like 12 kids falling in my car.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So that was,
meanwhile, are you wearing your Rolex or are you like hiding it in a safe?
Oh, I'm wearing it. And then it's funny because
but when you were in India, did you keep it on your wrist?
Yeah. Oh. But I was only in like crowded places. But it's funny because when they want to say yes and they agree with you, they don't nod their head. They go like this. Like, so if you're talking to somebody and you agree with them, you go like this.
Like a bobblehead, huh?
Yeah, like a bobblehead. And then when you say hi, they go like this, which is namaste. They go right up to you. So I want to go up to every single person and went like this, just because they have to say it back. You know? So that was and then little kids in some religion, and they wear eyeliner to ward off the evil spirits. So you see these 3-year-olds with eyeliner, which was, I talked about it. I'm like, I thought they were just fans of The Cure. But yeah, so there's all these little kids with eyeliner. That was crazy. And then of course, so the guy that was giving me, like, I was like, hey, I want to go downtown to the market, because you get these things for like five. My wife wanted shoes. You get these shoes for $10 and you get all these great deals, right? So we go down to the market. We end up taking like 4 Ubers because they needed the car back and yada, yada. We get there and some guy, we need to take a taxi back. And the guy wanted to rip me off. He's like, I don't go by the meter. He's like, it's a flat fee. So the guy that was with me was like this like Muslim Indian guy that was like, looked like he had a temper. And he goes, you don't rip off my friend. And he took the guy and just threw him against the fucking thing. And just the ground, he goes, that's my friend. You don't rip him off. And like, sort of like choking the guy. This is my buddy who's giving me a ride. And he goes, I don't want you to think bad of India.
I'm killing this every dollar and a quarter.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy. And then there's a thing called a rickshaw, right? A rickshaw, which is like it's a golf cart. It's a taxi. So a rickshack. So this guy's giving me a ride on the rickshack and I'm going around India and I'm FaceTiming with my wife because I wanted to see her, right? And of course, my phone, we get lost and my phone's about to die. Right before it dies, the guy's like, I want to talk to your wife. So he looks at her and he's like, hi. And then the phone dies. My wife thinks I've been kidnapped. Because the last So that was
did she pay the ransom or did she say fuck you? Sorry, we're broke. He didn't tell enough jokes this month.
But dude, it was the best, bro. And I gotta do a cruise this week. So I'm going back to like the little rooms, you know, on the cruise ships. And I went from like five star hotels, first class Arab Emirates. Like, you know, they have showers in first class. They have, you know, they serve you lobster. They have a bar up there. The beds go down, like the seats go down to beds. Every hotel is like, you know, 3 rooms. It's just, I never wanted it to end as far as like, that's how you should tour. You know, now it's just back to reality.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Don?
I'm good. Don't forget 1216.
That's 1216, yeah.
Well, Don, you're sitting upright. You're not laying down. Your back must feel a little bit better, huh?
Yeah, it feels great. Feels great. You know, then I've had a couple of sakis, you know. So that and the oxycodone makes me feel great. Yeah.
And then, Bill, what are you up to?
You know, I was just shooting this horror film up in Big Bear.
Oh, nice. What's your part?
No one will see it. It's terrible.
How is it terrible? Come on.
You know what it was? I was like excited. It was like a lead role, and I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be fun." I mean, low budget, but then like I started acting with my daughter. Like I have a 15-year-old daughter, and and she was so bad. It's like the minute I started, I was like, "Oh, I guess no one will ever see this movie."
Because wait,
you know, someone's so bad, you're like, "Oh,
is she in?" Dude, I saw a movie on the way back. It was called Lights Out, and it had Donald Cerrone was in it. The guy with the
Punisher. Yeah, and Frank Grillo, that actor. Yeah,
this was the worst movie I've ever seen. It was so bad. Frank Grillo is a great actor. I love Frank Grillo. But this movie had zero plot. All of a sudden, the cops are the bad guys. Nobody knows. They have like a fight to the death. They have these bare knuckle fights out in the open where like loser dies.
Of course.
Like Jamie King is the bad villain, and she's just totally miscast. When Donald Cerrone is one of the better actors in it, you know it's the worst movie I've ever
seen. Hey, like, Donald Cerrone isn't a bad actor.
No, he was good in this movie. That's how bad the movie was.
Yeah, listen, you suck up. Oh, jeez.
But the movie was fucking horrendous. I mean, even like anytime someone's gotten shot in the head, they were like, ow. It was just. Dude, it was.
Been shot in the head. Ouch. What do I do?
The bullet's in my skull.
How did you know about this movie, Bill?
Oh, because, you know, it's one of those movies where you go on Amazon Prime and the carousel, like, buy now. It's, like, one of the first movies. It's, like, Wonka, Poor Things, and then, like, Lights Out.
Oh, yeah. It was, I, like, the daughter is, like, 25, but they cast her as 8 years old for some reason. Yeah. Like, it was all, you could tell they were all friends. They were all friends of people that were in it. It was.
There's a type of movie that comes out now. What? That, like, clearly the actors just need to pay ex-wives and, like, mortgages because they're the shittiest movies ever. But you have, like, Malkovich and Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
Actors who have, like, you know, careers doing these awful movies. You're like, they clearly have ex-wives.
Oh, and they're all on the airplane. And I'm like, oh, this will be good. And then I'm watching it because I'm like, how could this possibly get worse? And it does. It actually gets worse.
I saw a movie on an airplane that was so bad. I wanted to walk out. That's how I was tempted to walk out. Oh, yeah.
You want to parachute out of the plane?
Oh, no, I didn't want to parachute. It would preserve the memory of the fucking movie.
So, Bill, you're right, though. The fights last weekend, which I'm sure Don did not watch, right?
What movie? What fight?
All right, there was some UFC fights last week. All right. Dude, there's this one fight in particular. This guy Cunningham, who took the fight on short notice against Klein, right? The guy, so he's a negative 900 or plus 900 underdog, which is negative. Yeah. He's negative 900, right?
Negative means you're a favorite, yeah.
Okay, so he's a plus 900 underdog, right? The guy took the fight on like 3 days' notice, and they're going off like saying he was abused as a kid. His dad put steroids in him. He beat the shit out of him every day, him and his brother. It's a miracle he's even here. Like, this guy's, they keep talking about his childhood, and you're like, oh, this is like, this, what, this, I hope he wins. And then he gets the shit beaten out of him. Like,
like, dad, is that you?
Dude, they were like, even if he loses, it can't be any worse than the beatings he got as a kid. It was all bad. I'm like, if you're going to give me a backstory, give me the backstory after he wins, not like during the fight and before, because, dude, it was, and then.
That's like American Idol. You don't go to their home and interview the family and they go up and they can't sing at all.
That's exactly what happened. And then Don, so Rozenstruik, who's this heavyweight, he fought this guy Gaziev, who was this, you know, undefeated guy from, I don't know, Russia, and he was, you know, just beating everyone. He was 12-0, and the guy quit in the fourth round. Like, he won the first couple rounds, and then he didn't come out for the fifth round. He said his eye hurt, but it clearly nothing wrong with his eye. And he had never been out of the first round before, and it was. It was just sad. Don, would you
was
ever
he just gassed?
He was gassed and just beaten up. Like, he was getting jabbed to death, and it was obvious that he'd never gotten beaten before. Like, he was just, you know, a bully, and he always won. And he said, my eye hurts. And
close your asshole.
Don, did you ever even think about quitting?
Of course I did. Yeah. When I fought Brian Johnston in UFC 10, you know, I got lucky. He hit me a few times. And I'm like, fuck, I can't take many more of these things, man. You know, thank God he fell down. You know, so.
But you would never actually quit. I mean, you would never quit, right?
I would if I wasn't getting paid enough. Yeah, fuck it. You know, I'll give you what you're paying me for.
But you never did quit, though.
I quit a couple of times, unfortunately. Yeah, yeah.
Against who?
Because they didn't pay me enough money, and I had a bad bunch of bullshit at the house, you know, and it just, you know, there's more to it. I quit before you went into the fight, you know. That's basically what it was.
Well, I respect your honesty, but every time I watch these guys quit, I'm like, there's no way Don wouldn't come out for the fifth round. There's no way. There's no way.
Did you ever throw in the towel, Don? Did your corner ever throw in the towel?
No. When we were getting ready to go fight in the Ultimate 2, you know, we're gonna looking for a rematch against Mark Coleman. And I said, if any of you fuckers even think about throwing in the towel, you just stay here. You're not even going, you know. I wanted to get even Coleman, you know, for beating the shit out of me.
I love that. I mean, that's pretty damn awesome. And then so that was crazy. So Jake Paul fought over the weekend. Now he's fighting on YouTube, and he's picking these guys that, you know, the guy was a Golden Gloves winner, but like in the 80s or something. He had one fight in the last 5 years. He had a decent record though. It was like 18-3. I don't know who the 18 guys he beat
or 40 years ago.
Yeah. And this guy didn't throw a punch. Jake Paul just destroyed him in 35 seconds. And the guy wasn't fighting back. Let me see. Do you guys want to watch this?
How much did he get paid?
The guy?
It's not paid. Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. Probably $500,000, probably, I would assume, around there.
Yeah.
But when I was in India, like the third richest man like in the world lived there, and they were Rihanna flew in to perform at this guy's wedding and got $6 million for 30 minutes. And I heard she didn't even turn in her like set list. She's like, I'm not telling you what I'm singing. So that's that was crazy.
Fucking A, man. That's an attitude. That's a fucking attitude, man.
So then also Junior Dos Santos in bare knuckle MMA.
Oh, that was cool. I watched that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
He beat Alan Belcher for the heavyweight championship. So now he's a heavyweight champion in bare knuckle MMA, which is pretty cool because he was getting he was getting wrecked in MMA for a while. Like he was the most dominant champ, and then he hit like a wall. And then Crazy Horse. You know what Crazy Horse is, Don?
Yeah, yeah.
So Crazy
Black
Horse.
Black dude from Texas, right?
No, not he's a black guy. He was in he's been a kind of a legend. Like he used to have these fights where he would just grab the person and spin them around into the cage like by their legs. And like all the talent in the world, but no
discipline.
Yeah, he would weigh in naked. He would party before fights. He would always but he knocked out Wanderlei Silva. Back in the day, I guess he had some fight with the Chupac guys in the locker room of a pride fight, and I guess he got choked out by one guy by a triangle, and then he stood up and just threw a wild haymaker and knocked out Wanderlei Silva, who wasn't expecting it. This guy's like 145 pounds, but then Wanderlei went on and fought like 45 minutes later and like won the title. So
Wanderlei's a tough dude, man. Wanderlei, he's a fucking fighter. He's a machine.
Yeah, so now Crazy Horse has lost 22 fights in a row, including the fight he lost over the weekend. But he won the first round, so that's good. At least he's won the first round.
He's entertaining to watch still, right?
I mean, he's always singing. He's basically like the old dirty bastard of fighting, where you don't know what he's going to do. But the sad part is that he had so much potential. But just never took anything seriously. We had him on
What's wrong?
We had him on the podcast. It was the first and last time. I think he said something about he hopes that all gay people pass away or something. It was just something.
What the fuck?
Something crazy. So I said, all right, that was the first and last time. But then you actually like meet him and he's like charming and like funny and entertaining. He's one of those guys. Like,
really?
Charles Bennett. Is it Charles Bennett or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, Charles Bennett. Yeah. Like, I don't think he meant that. I really don't think he meant that. I just think he just says, I don't know. I want to stick up for the guy because there is something very likable about this guy. And I did help the guy. Like, somebody asked me for his number to get into the guy who runs that crazy fight promotion where they like, it's like they have transgender fights and 5-on-1 and they'll have like musical chair fights and a fight circus. The guy from Fight Circus was looking for him. So I gave the guy his number. He doesn't even know that. No. But this.
You'll find out. Hey, you want to fight 5 Chinese Saturday night?
Yeah, I think sure. He lost. He did. He actually lost to 3 guys at once. But I mean, who wouldn't lose to 3 guys at once? This week, it's O'Malley versus Vera. UFC, what is it, 299? O'Malley?
299, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I hate to say it because I like both these guys, but I think O'Malley right now is going to beat him. I know that Vera won the first one. But that was a weird thing where like O'Malley's ankle gave out. Remember, his like ankle gave out during the fight, and O'Malley was piecing him up. But then he was just doing these weird spinning kicks, and like it was almost like he was in the Ice Capades, like just fucking flying around. His like ankle finally gave out, but I think he wins this fight. Don, what do you think?
I don't know who's he fighting.
He's fighting Vera. He's fighting
Tito Vera.
Yeah. It's gonna be the main event, Marlon Vera.
You know, O'Malley surprises the hell out of me. I think he's a fucking goof, but he surprises the hell out of me the way he fights. You know, he always finds a way to win. You know,
he always does find a way to win. He's also not worried about what the crowd thinks. Like that was the thing when he fought.
You tell that by his hair.
When he fought Aljamain Sterling, the crowd was booing, and then Aljamain forced it and got knocked out. The same thing happened when I saw Ryan Bader get knocked out by Lyoto Machida. The crowd starts booing because it's boring, and then one guy hates hearing boos, so he rushes it.
And the other guy's used to it, yeah.
The other guy's used to it, right. And that's what happened. Should be a good fight, though. I mean, O'Malley's a star. You know, obviously, I'm not really... look, the things he says are a little ridiculous. Like, you know, he likes to have threesomes, which is cool, but he doesn't mind his wife banging other dudes, which is a little strange.
I didn't know he's married. Jeez, that guy's married, fuck. I mean, he's smart. He's marketing. He's a marketing genius, making a lot of money with them fucking wigs, you know?
Yeah.
And he's always been training like that. Like, I saw him training years ago. I went to Arizona. They invited me over to watch him train. And that's exactly how he was sparring. Head up, hands down, weird karate stance. And it's really hard to get guys to emulate that. I mean, Don, did you ever have guys to emulate your opponents when you were fighting?
No. I had my guys that are just, they're all just damn tough. They were so fucking tough. You know, any one of them could have stepped in, you know, and beat anybody, you know. I mean, they're just amazingly my sparring partners. You know, they just dedicated to me. And, you know, thank God, and I owe them for that. You know, they were dedicated to me, and they did not want to go into the limelight. You know, they were happy just helping me succeed.
That's pretty cool.
It's a rarity.
Bill, who do you like in this fight?
I mean, I always want to think that O'Malley is going to lose and that he's all hype, but then he always surprises me. So I'm going to, I want O'Malley to win, which means he's going to lose.
By the way, there are certain people like that, Don, even when I was touring with Russell Peters, like a lot of times headliners don't want to work that hard, or they'll tell you like, hey man, don't do jokes about this or that, or don't do crowd work. Russell's like, right. Make me work. He goes, make me work. He goes, bury me. Go ahead and bury me. I'm like, I've never had a headliner do that. Now, obviously, I didn't do much crowd work because I knew he was going to do a lot of crowd work, but I didn't hold back at all. Did you, Bill, you ever work with somebody who told you to kind of ease up on the crowd a little bit?
I've worked with people who have told me, who knew my material and all of a sudden started telling me, don't do this joke, don't do that joke, don't do this joke. I mean, I would write jokes for a certain comic that we know, an older comic who may or may not be a total douchebag.
Right.
And I'd write jokes for him, and I would do a joke of mine that was similar. And he'd be like, you can't do that joke because it's similar to the joke that you wrote for me that I'm doing.
The joke that you wrote for him. Got it, of course.
Yeah.
Also on this card, Dustin Poirier is fighting Benoit St. Denis, who's really, really good. Poirier is saying this might be his last fight. That's not a good sign.
Really?
When somebody says this might be my last fight, it's usually they're halfway checked out. That's just my
opinion. Puts Harry out the door,
And this guy, Benoit St. Denis, has nothing to lose in this one.
Why is Poirier checked out? Is he just like, has he talked about it?
I think a lot of it is just, for me personally, what I think, and this is not anything that like is verified, but I think when he fights a guy like Conor McGregor, he could really get up for this fight, you know, like, or even Poirier versus Michael Chandler or Justin Gaethje. Those are guys that like, he probably has, they're similar fighters to him. It's like two alphas, you know, it's just, I mean, you're never going to get bigger than McGregor, at least right now. But he fights a guy like Benoit St. Denis, only the hardcores know who he is. And he's probably...
See, that was my problem. I always fought up to my opponent, down to my opponent, you know? And so maybe that's his situation. You know, he's not stimulated enough and not giving the proper opponents, you know, to keep him interested.
Yeah, and I don't think this guy's going to talk shit about him either. So I don't think he's going to try to get in his head. I mean, McGregor was talking so much shit. Your wife's in my DMs, your wife this, your wife that. I mean, he was giving him a lot of fuel. And he also knocked him out the first time they fought. So a guy knocks you out the first time, come on, right? Michael Venom Page versus Kevin Holland. This should be a great fight because, I mean, look, I knew when it was Bellator versus PFL, Bellator wiped them out. I mean, wiped them out. And I knew that was going to happen because the PFL, you have to have a good 2 months and you win the tournament. And a lot of times, like a lot of it's how you're matched up, the 8 seed versus the 1 seed. It's just a matter of you could have a good tournament. Doesn't mean you're like you're the best fighter. You just have the best tournament. Whereas Bellator, the champs, they've been the champs. So they fought the number 2 guy, the number 3 guy, the number 1 guy. You know, they fought all those guys. So Bellator was just destroying these guys, except for the Impa fight, which was very close against Johnny Eblen, which I thought was also weird the way Eblen, this guy Johnny Eblen was a really good fighter. He hadn't lost a round, but he was doing weird things the week of the fight. He was spending $85,000 on an OnlyFans model that wasn't his girlfriend, and it was on TMZ. Then he wasn't. It was almost like somebody told him, like, how do we get on TMZ and just do these crazy things of, like, who's his girlfriend going to be? And I'm like, this guy's just trying to make a name for himself. And unfortunately, in the MMA world right now, this seems to be a way to do it. And Ryan Bader got
spending $85,000. Fucking
God.
What's the most you ever spent on someone, Bill?
What? Are you talking about prostitution?
No, like buying a girl something.
I feel like every relationship ever is I've given them everything I've ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. It's called marriage.
I feel like I've never dated a woman, feminist or not, that wanted to be egalitarian.
Never,
ever.
Huh? Never. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of them like the idea of it. And then they're like, fuck that. But anyway, and then, of course, Ryan Bader. I don't know if you watched it, but Ryan Bader, Don, he fought a guy that was 6'6". And I knew it right away. I'm like, Ryan Bader, I love Ryan, but he's not the smartest fighter. And if anyone is going to stand in the range of a guy 6'6", it's going to be Ryan Bader. And he's not even a real heavyweight. He's just better than the heavyweights in Bellator, so he went up. So right away, I'm sitting there with a bunch of guys in Saudi Arabia, and I'm like, dude, he's going to get knocked out in 30 seconds, all right? And he goes out there, and first punch, boom, knocked out. Bader loses.
Whoa.
Wow.
And now the guy's fighting Francis Ngannou in MMA. After, by the way, Ngannou fights this week against Anthony Joshua in boxing.
Wow.
Who do you think's going to win?
I'll tell you, Ngannou, that's an impressive fighter. It's unbelievable, man. What a fucking athlete, huh? That is impressive.
Yeah,
but I think he's going to lose this one because he's fighting. I think Tyson Fury did not take him serious at all. So
no, hell no.
And he really surprised Tyson Fury. But now all of a sudden, it's like, this guy is dangerous. And how does a guy who's boxed for 3 years beat a guy who's a world champion who's boxed for 20 years? I mean, how is that going to happen? Other than by catching him with a big punch. But I just don't see it happening. You?
What's the age difference?
That's a good question. I don't know the age difference.
But you said MMA, not boxing?
No, it's boxing. It's this Saturday in Saudi Arabia. They're boxing. Francis Ngannou is boxing Anthony Joshua. And then he's going back to MMA for the PFL after that. And then also Clarissa Shields, right, who is pound for pound the best female boxer of all time, two-time gold medalist. She almost lost in the PFL. She got armbarred in the first. And I give her a lot of credit for not tapping because this was deep. And I even said to her after the fight, I can't believe you didn't tap. She's like, oh, she could have broke my arm. I would have beat her with the other one. But it was like basically watching UFC 1 where the boxer was winning.
She had one glove.
She might as well. And then got taken down and mounted and somehow pulled off the victory. But she fought a girl that was 1-3 who went up 20 pounds to fight her or 15 pounds to fight her at 165. Wow. By the way, recently they had the weights at UFC 198. And UFC 298, and the weight difference of what these guys weighed in, were Henry Cejudo gained 23 pounds overnight. Marab gained 27 pounds overnight. Some of these other guys were gaining 35 pounds overnight. 33 pounds.
I gained 17 back when I was wrestling, in college.
What and weight?
Funny. I think I wrestled 67, and I wrestled 67 and 90, went back and forth, and, 17 pounds after being at 167. And that's what I finally said, hell, I'm never cutting weight again, so.
Yeah, no, 100%. So Michael Page is fighting Kevin Holland. So Kevin Holland was this phenom in Bellator. Karate, like 10th Dan. His dad was a karate champion. His brother's a karate champion. The guy's got really, really slick moves, karate-wise. Knocks people. Remember he fought Cyborg, the male Cyborg, and like cracked his skull. Like you saw a crack in the guy's skull from a head kick. So UFC just signed him, and he's fighting Kevin Holland, who, what's the name, calls Mr. Big Mouth, who talks shit the whole fight. Talk shit the entire fight. Unfortunately for him, he fights the other guy's game plan all the time. Like he fought Wonder Boy in a karate match. He's great at jiu-jitsu, but never likes to use it. So this should be a good fight. I think Michael Venom Page is going to win, but I don't know. Bill?
Yeah. I mean, I love Kevin Holland. I think he's fun. I don't know this other fighter you're talking about. I haven't seen him crack someone's skull with a punch.
A knee.
Oh, well, then fuck it. Then Kevin Holland.
No, but the guy, I'm telling, the guy's so hard to fight, though, because of his like, style. Have you ever seen him fight before, Don?
I don't know. I don't know if I have or not. Sounds familiar.
No, he's really good. His name is Michael Venom.
What weight?
185. Yeah. Here, let me see if I can find some.
What promotion has been? What is it? What promotion does he fight with?
He was in Bellator, but the UFC just signed him. This is his first.
Oh, just that first.
Yeah, this is his first fight. Hold on, let me see. So here, I'll show you some of his some of the stuff he does. It's crazy. He does some really unconventional stuff. Can you guys see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which guy?
Oh,
he's fast. Jeez.
So just about everything you need in a fight, you lose off the lip shot. It can come back.
So what do you guys think?
I mean, are the caliber of opponents at UFC level that he's fighting here?
No. It's either the most boring fight ever, where he just stares at the guy, or he does this crazy, crazy shit. He did lose to Mike Perry in a bare knuckle boxing match, but I thought Mike Perry really won that fight. What do you think, Don?
I agree. I mean, because of the caliber of the opponent, you know, I mean, yeah. Well, how can you judge, you know, how can you judge what he's really worth if he's fighting scrubs?
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Sometimes I look at like top fighters and I'm like, the key is to skip leg day, apparently.
Yeah.
And then Jack Della Maddalena is fighting Gilbert Burns. Maddalena lost his first two fights and then won 16 in a row against good guys, against Gilbert Burns. And I like Gilbert a lot. Unfortunately, I think his best days are behind him. You know, I hate to say it. And then Curtis Blaze is fighting Alameda. This whole card is great. This is probably one of the better cards in a while.
I've heard it's better than 300.
It's 100% better than 300. Also over the weekend there was MMA during a boxing match. Did you guys hear about this, Don? You want to see this?
So wait, did you see this just happened next to me, by the way?
What happened? What's that?
A guy ran his car to the office.
Oh shit! All right, so this guy was winning. He was winning the MMA fight. A guy, Marcin Santos in Poland, he was winning against a guy that was 8-0. And then all of a sudden, this is what happens.
He hurts him. And then he takes him down and starts beating him up.
And he got disqualified.
It's a boxing match?
Yeah.
Somebody gotta explain the rules of these guys, huh?
You think he just got he like just forgot, or like what do you think? And then last week, by the way, this this happened, by the way. This one of the craziest actually this has to be knockout of the year. So Don, Bill, do you watch are you guys watching this?
Yeah.
So look at this. Look at this. Look at this right here. Let's see.
Oh, yes, you.
We'll see what Sopai has left.
Oh, Sopai's dead.
So that happened last week. Yeah.
Didn't see that. Just saw you.
Oh, you just saw me? Hold on. Share a screen.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Can you see it now?
Yeah.
I think they have earned each other's respect over these 15 minutes. Under 30 seconds to go. We'll see what Sopai has left.
Sopai's dead.
So it was a 4-3. Don, do you have a magnifying glass?
Yeah. Have to, man. You're on the streams like that big.
Oh, you're the funniest. You are the funniest. You're the funniest human being I know. So that was a crazy flying knee. You saw Bill, you watched that flying knee? You see it when it's live?
Yeah, I did. It was insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to suck. I always feel for the guy who got knocked out by the flying knee. Although, I got to say, that guy Impa, you know, he got knocked out by that one knee, by that flying knee, by that kick by Joaquin Buckley, where he caught his foot, and then he did like a
reverse.
And then he got cut by the UFC a fight later, and then since then he's won $1 million in like the PFL. So I guess, crazy. You know, to go to show you, it's not how many times you get knocked out, it's how many times you get back up.
Don, would you say that the flying knee is the hardest hit you can take in MMA?
Yeah, I think so. But although when you spinning fought, heel, the spinning heel knocked the shit out of you, boy.
But when you fought, they could knee you when you're on the ground, right?
Correct, correct.
No, back when Don fought, they would headbutt. That was headbutting. Yeah. And then Mark Kerr told me he used to open up the guy's like head or whatever and put his thumb in there and then twist it. Like, that was insane. Coleman too. How did you guys practice headbutting, by the way? Did you guys ever practice it in the gym?
You just do it on the heavy bag, you know, on the heavy bag. You can't get one of your sparring partners to volunteer as for sure.
So you see a headbutt and you start heading the heavy bag over and over again?
Yeah, on the ground, you know, or standing up, boom, you know.
That is
God insane. Damn.
That's insane. Now, you'd never studied tape of any of your opponents, or you did?
No, I did, yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, once they came out, you know, in the first when I fought in the UFC, there was no tape of anybody, you know? So you didn't know what the hell you're getting.
Yeah.
Did you have like those, like,
you had to look at drawings. They did drawings.
Yeah, did you like, yeah. like those books where you could, like, you know, remember, like, back in the day, the books, great things running back?
No, you go over to the mountains and the petroglyphs. You don't go to petroglyphs. Let's study that one.
Now, were there any groupies back in the day, Don, for you?
I don't know. I don't know because I was married.
Oh, come on.
I was married. So I didn't get involved in that shit. Yeah, in Japan, I was married. My wife was with me.
Now, would your wife motivate you before the fight? Say, like, you know, do it for us? Or was it like Rocky?
No, she stayed the hell out of the way, which is good. She would just be counting the money, you know? Yeah. And this is my share, this is yours. Yeah. Now, you need to win this because I need, you know, I need more money for when we get a divorce so I can steal it from you.
Now, if you lost, did she at least give you blowjobs? Does it make you feel better?
Oh, she hated when I lost, man. She hated when I lost worse than I hated it, man. Shit. Right. She knew the next fight, you know, my value was going down, you know.
But she wouldn't say, hey, listen, you know, you're still the champ to me, and just like gobble, gobble.
Fuck no. Fuck no. Fuck no.
Yeah, those pity.
It was a bad business kind of deal is what it was, you know, the marriage.
Yeah. Well, listen. Well, you know, you're still my champ, Don.
Well, thanks, sweetheart.
No problem. What do you got coming up, Bill?
Just, you know, Wednesday's Laugh Factory, and then when you're in town, let me know when you want to do it, Adam.
Tonight.
You can probably do it tonight.
Okay. Well, listen, Don, anything coming up?
No. I'm just, you know, doing my podcast. Got my podcast here in a couple hours. And then, shit. I think they're going to have me come up to 300, you know? Yeah.
Nice.
And do our show.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast, guys. Go to adamhuntercomedy.com for my upcoming dates. Take care. You guys are the best.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, yeah.